Scripture reading is taken out of the book of John, chapter 11, and we'll read verse 1 through 16, and verse 41 through 44. John 11, verses 1 through 16. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary was who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Till this far, the reading of Scripture. That God will bless the word through us all, and that we be lifted up. Dear congregation, brothers and sisters, I have two questions. Two questions. Did you ever had a moment with Jesus? Did you ever had a moment with Jesus? In this sermon, I would like to hold a mirror in front of you. So there is no looking to another. It's looking in the mirror who you are. Therefore, the question, did you ever had a moment with Jesus? And the second question, are you a friend of Jesus? Or can you say, do people know that Jesus loves you? So question number one, did you ever had a moment with Jesus? And do people know that Jesus loves you? The theme of this morning's service is a hopeful moment with Jesus. As you probably well know, in the life and in the Gospels, we can read many times about moments with Jesus, that Jesus privately talks and helps people. This morning, I'm going to look at a hopeful moment with Jesus, or life, in one word, life. And I look at 3 points. The first one is unsurmountable concerns, what we can read in this chapter. Second is unimaginable promise, and the third is unbelievable power. John describes one of the most impressive stories about the work of Jesus, and this happened in the period that Jesus' life of when Jesus made his way to Jerusalem. Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, or the one whom Jesus loved, was sick, even until death. And in this chapter, you'll see how the Lord Jesus demonstrates his power to turn death into life. With this story in our mind, let's look at some of these insurmountable points of concerns. So the verses 1 to 3, Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sister, were worried about their brother. Her brother, Lazarus, is serious ill. They send a message to Jesus, the one whom you love, they don't say his name, the one whom you love is sick. You can also translate this, your friend is sick. Their request says a lot about how they knew their Lord. They had a special relationship with Jesus. They knew he had a heart to care. They knew he had a heart to help, to heal. They knew he had a heart full of grace. In verse 27, Martha declares that she believes Jesus to be the Son of God. They knew that Jesus healed others. Now they look at him, the Son of God, to come and to heal their brother, the friend of Jesus, the one whom Jesus so loved. Well, this appeal of Mary and Martha appeals also to us. Their request to Jesus reminds us that Jesus Christ must be the first resort in times of trouble and worry, physically and spiritually. When difficulties arise in life, and they will arise, you need to go to him. It actually says you need to know him, so he knows you. You need to know something about the love of Christ. See, that's what Jesus teaches himself. All things, he says, all things that you will ask in prayer, believingly, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. That arises lots of questions, but we'll come back to that later. There is not only the care of sickness, there is also a care of delay in this story. Verse 4 through 10, when Jesus hears their urgent request, he responds in a very surprisingly way. Instead of getting up and walking the 5 mile, Jesus stays where he is for 2 more days. He tells the disciples in verse 4 that Lazarus would recover under normal circumstances. However, he also indicates that these are not normal circumstances. He hints that Lazarus will die in the verses 11 through 14. remarkable story. Could Jesus have healed Lazarus? Yes, of course. He's the Son of God. He could have spoken the word where he was, and Lazarus would be well. But he didn't. He didn't. Jesus stayed where he was, and he healed people. He waited until Lazarus was fallen asleep, as it is written, for one purpose, that God might get more glory from Lazarus' resurrection than from his healing. It's all about God's glory in life. And therefore, Mary and Martha were forced to watch Lazarus languish and die. Just put yourself in their place. Put yourself in their place. They were forced to wash his body, to prepare it for burial, and to place it in a grave. With one question in their mind, you know, I talked to his friend, the one whom he loved, the one who can call the dead as alive, the great healer, the Son of God. Well, that's how it goes sometimes, don't. You bring your problems, as an example, you bring your problems to the Lord, and what you get in return is silence. No word. You call on him, expecting him to answer your prayers and meet your need, and all you get in return is nothing. Is silence. In fact, sometimes the problems only get worse. Sometimes situations become desperate. Sometimes you need an answer today, but the answer doesn't come today or even tomorrow. I don't know if you have that experience, but I certainly do. Praying and asking, and a kind of a divine silence. Divine silence. I still have the mirror before you, right? It's you. Are you a friend of Jesus? Does Jesus love you? Here is what we need to remember. In times of divine silence, you know, the Lord was able to see what the sisters and the disciples could not see. He was able to see beyond the crisis of that moment. And what he was seeing, the glory of God would receive through the crisis more and more glory. He knew what was on the other side of the pain, of the problems, of the pressure of life. He knew the outcome even before the crisis reached its peak. Dear friends, God knows more about our situation than we do. God knows the day of tomorrow. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, and he keeps an eye on both the good and the evil. Proverbs 15:3. Nothing that is created is hidden from him. All is undisguised and fully visible to the eyes of him to whom we are accountable, in Hebrews. It's our duty. It's our high calling to believe in him. Even if we cannot figure out what he is doing and why he is doing it. At the end, it's for the glory of God alone. The Lord knows the outcomes of your crisis before the crisis is born. Our only, I would say, duty of faith is waiting on the Lord. Jesus said it himself, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. In John 14:1, he said, in this way, do not be alarmed, but trust in God and in me. Psalm 62. Trust in him, my people, at all times. Pour out your hearts to him. God is our refuge. Jesus waited, and Lazarus died. Things went from bad to worse. The situation went from desperate to impossible. Lazarus fell asleep, and Jesus did nothing to stop it. Perhaps that's a part of your experience. And it was quiet. Imagine, two sisters had to bury Lazarus, their brother. Sometimes you'll say, "And where was Jesus? Where is our Savior? What is happening in our life? What is he doing? Why? Why? Why?" At the end, you will say, it's all to the glory of God. The pleas of Martha and Mary had gone unanswered. And they were, if I would, you know, look and visit the funeral, they would look discouraged. They would look saddened. And when they talked to Jesus, they said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They simply asked, "Why didn't you come? Why didn't you say the word, live? Why didn't you heal him? We thought you loved us. Where were you when we needed you the most?" He's your friend. You loved him. Understandable, right? Correct? It's understandable. It's easy to get discouraged when the Lord doesn't do things our way, in our time frame. You could lose your courage, you could lose your faith, you could lose your trust. But then, Jesus goes to work. Then it goes from insurmountable to unimaginable promise. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, he finds himself in a scene of great sorrow. He finds the community mourning the death of Lazarus. He finds what most would consider a hopeless situation. Death. That's what he found. He didn't find any faith, by the way. He found death. Jesus enters this scene with words of comfort, of hope, of blessing. He gives them some unimaginable promises. There were promises about death. Martha meets Jesus and he tells her that her brother will resurrect, that he will live again. About the great resurrection. Jesus then gives her one of the greatest promises in the New Testament. He says, the resurrection of Lazarus does not have to wait until a future event. I am the resurrection and the life. If you know Jesus, it brings you into a relationship of faith. It brings a person face to face with death-destroying, life-giving power. That's what Jesus is. And therefore I ask you the question in the beginning, are you a friend of Jesus? Does Jesus love you? Do you know him? A promise about death. There was also a promise about deliverance. Jesus goes on to promise Martha that anyone who truly believes in Jesus will never experience death. He promises to completely set free his people from the experience of death. That's what he actually says here. Well, that doesn't mean that believers don't shed their mortal bodies, because they do. We have to die. We have to receive. If you're a believer, that's the mirror. That's the mirror. We don't look to another. For yourself, you will receive, as a believer, a new body. How it will be happening, we don't know. But it means that they will not experience what the Bible calls the second death. In Revelations 20, 11 through 15, on Romans 6, 23, it means that when believers lay down their mortal bodies, they leave this world of pain, of suffering, of sorrow, and we enter into a new land of peace, of true love and joy. And we enter into the presence of our almighty triune God. 2 Corinthians 5. Finally, Jesus asked her a very important question. The question comes to you and me too. Do you believe this? In other words, brother, sister, Martha, is your faith in me and in what I can do? Am I truly the Son of God? Or, Martha, do you trust me with everything? Everything. Even your whole life. Even your soul. Everything that God has promised, he is able to do. He will keep his promises. And he will never, never fail to do what he says. He will do. That's our God. He is the great guarantee to his people. The question is this. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you are saved by his grace, that is, you know, if you are convicted of your sin and you have turned to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, believing that he died for your sins and buried and rose again on the third day, do you believe that? Then you are saved. And the promises of God are yours. Eternal life, being with God, peace in your heart, inconceivable are the promises of our Lord. Let's finally look at the unbelievable power. Jesus came and he demonstrated his sovereign power. He didn't just make promises. No, he did something about the problem. It's unbelievable power that was expressed as in compassion. That's what the Lord is. That's what the Lord Jesus is. He's compassionate. After speaking to both his sisters, their brothers, about the brother's death, Jesus is moved by the scene unfolding before him. Just imagine for a moment, there was an intense grief over the loss of their brother. Family are present. Friends and family are present. And customary at that time, the family had hired mourners who wailed as only they could do in the part of the world. Jesus sees it all. He sees their sorrows. and it touches him. He was deeply moved. He was a bit annoyed. He cried. The point is that Jesus cares about humankind. That's why he came to earth. He's not some distant deity removed from the plight and pain of his people. No, he is the present Lord and Savior who heals pain of those whom he loves. Hebrews 4. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5. Thus he enters into your hopeless affairs with a heart of compassion, of love, of deep, deep love. That's what the Lord Jesus is. He understands who you are and he goes into your sorrow and he helps you by giving his grace, his peace, his power. He cares. In other words, you don't have to carry your burden alone. You know where his incredible power was manifested? It is manifested in his love, in his connection, in his relationship. Friday at the wedding, I called it in his chesed. That Hebrew word that only belongs to God, as when we talk about that one-sided love that brought us together, that show us in the mirror who you are and who God is. He understands who you are. You know, while Jesus was in his world, he did nothing for himself. And even through himself, everything he did was determined by the Father, John 5. And he too, Jesus raised his voice to his Father in a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you for hearing me. The Father hears the Son. He was never forsaken of the Father, except at the cross. Except at the cross, in his deepest suffering. And Jesus thanked the Father that so that everyone could hear and everyone could know that he has the power to help when we face life hopelessness. The prayer that Jesus prayed that day gave and gives hope. Gives hope. It means that we are not alone in this world. We do not wander aimlessly hoping things will work out. We are safe in the hands of the Father. Are you his friend? Does Jesus truly love you? Then know he has planned every step we will take in life. Every step. That connection reminds us that God is in control of all life, even the hopeless cases you are staring perhaps today. God is in charge in all of your life. Jesus gave thanks. And then Jesus does the unthinkable. He walks to the tomb of Lazarus and he shouts with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus steps out. He was already smelling, you know, and he hears the word. The dead will hear the voice of Jesus, and they will know him, and they will live. That's what Jesus does. That's the picture. Who are you? Are you his friend? Does Jesus love you? See, this is the power of the God we are privileged to serve. This is the image of a sovereign Lord. It's the image of the one who has absolute control over all things. If he can speak, If he can speak and worlds appear, he can take care of your hopeless case. If he can speak and trillions of stars appear in space, he can take care of your hopeless case. You're more important than his stars' creation. If he can breathe in a heap of dust and create the human race, he can take care of your hopeless case. If he can speak and calm the stormy waves, he can take care of your hopeless case. If he can touch a leper and make him clean, he can take care of your hopeless situation. If he can open the eyes of a blind, he can take care of your hopeless case. If he walks on water, he can take care of you. If he can feed the crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he can take care of you. Again, the mirror and the question. Do you love Jesus? Is Jesus your friend? Do you love Jesus? Did you ever had a moment with Jesus for your personal life? Like Lazarus, being called out of the dead, be made life. Amen.